Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's hard to find parking in the shade. Oh, my God. Let it go. What do you think air conditioning was invented for?
A hot steering wheel, though, when you get in a car is rough.
It is. Go back to Dusseldorf, okay? Will you, Klaus?
I love that it's all Germans for us.
Oh, okay. I normally don't gush when I don't, and I don't know you. I couldn't pick you out of a lineup before this morning, and then I do my deep dive, and I'm reading it, Ty, and I like your stuff. It's great, but you know, but you've been writing, you've been doing this for a very long time. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you, sir. I feel validated. I can go on with my week now.
That's good news. Elton John has been toast for 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paul? How about Paul?
Not good the last 10 years.
Tony Bennett?
Tony Bennett is dead.
Oh. Please move on.
All right. Let's close with this. Mike, come back. We need you for one more take.
Hey, Oscar, thank you for that plug, baby.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Live from Podville Media in Washington, D.C. and around the world, you're listening to The Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa. Welcome to the party, and please join us along with our friends in great places like Calgary, Canada, Madrid, Spain, Kearney, New Jersey, Timonium, Maryland, Good Grief, Idaho, and Pee-Pee Township, Ohio. The one that Rob doesn't know anybody from, but he put it in there. Anyway, we're going to have some fun now because this is, I do concentrated show prep sometimes.
What does that mean? To the layperson.
That means you'll suggest a guest. I'll say that sounds great, and then I'll do my prep.
Okay.
Well, I got a new guy, and I am excited about this. We have it's time to talk movies with Ty Burr.
Show business.
Ty is a film critic, pop culture columnist. He worked for the Boston Globe reviewing movies for two decades, 2002 to 2021. He currently writes a web watch list that I've subscribed to.
Oh, cool.
Ty Burr's watch list. And when I talk about my stunning Southwest Florida work ethic, it's concentrated. And I have to tell you something. I don't think I've ever fallen in love with somebody so quickly.
Should I leave?
I'm reading so rapidly between... You know, when you're venting about the January 6th committee to when you're talking about the Marvel movies we are simpatico completely. And, you know, I probably always wanted to work in New England myself, but I never got an opportunity to. It was D.C. and then this. So we welcome Ty Burr, a longtime film critic for the Boston Globe. And if you're like me and you take me to heart here, Ty Burr's watch list. All right. It's Ty Burr's watch list .substack.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. And I will never look at Rotten Tomatoes again. I won't.
Oh, that's wow.
I'm sorry. Okay. I normally don't gush when I don't, and I don't know you. Uh-huh. I couldn't pick you out of a lineup before this morning. And then I do my deep dive, and I'm reading it, Ty, and I like your stuff. It's great, but you've been writing, you've been doing this for a very long time. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Great to have you on.
Thank you, sir. I feel validated. I can go on with my week now.
That's good news.
Well, as a guy that, and I want to get into the whole who's going to the theater thing and streaming, mm-hmm. and how to negotiate it. I find it a little difficult, a little frustrating. I find myself diving into limited series almost more than I watch films nowadays, but there are plenty of good movies out there. But you've done a lot. You've worked with HBO Cinemax. You've worked for Entertainment Weekly and then The Globe for a very long time before you ventured out on your own. And I read a little bit about that, but I'd like to know the thought process because you're still getting it done. You're still working, and you could have stayed. You could have been a lifer at The Globe. What was the prime reason to move on from The Globe? Because you were very popular there.
And I had a lot of fun there, and I still have a lot of friends and colleagues there. I've been there 19 years, and that's a long time, almost 20. But more to the point, I felt like the movie business had changed in those 19 years, and the newspaper business had certainly changed. And the way newspapers and magazines and the mainstream media covers movies no longer reflected the way we watch them, the way we consume them.
100%.
And that was a problem. I was stuck covering a movie, right, reviewing a movie when it came out in theaters, when maybe, you know, especially once the pandemic hits, nobody was seeing it in theaters. But generally speaking, a lot of my readership, you know, the majority of my readership probably wasn't seeing that movie until it came out on demand one way or the other, at which time we didn't republish the review. We didn't do anything. The other factor in my deciding to start up this the watch list was that we all have these subscription platforms we subscribe to. Mike, you subscribe to Netflix, right?
Sure.
Yep.
Amazon.
Yep.
Yep.
And then you got kids, you got Disney Plus, yeah. HBO Max, mm-hmm. Apple TV. You've got all these things. Nobody knows what's on them. You know the shows that they're true. Promoting, that you know the top tier when you yeah. go to the home screen. They've all got deep, deep benches of movies. Except Netflix, which is a separate conversation.
Oh, it's funny. I read that, what you wrote about that, too. 3,700 titles on Netflix with 93 movies that are worthwhile.
Yeah, exactly. I went through the
That's so true. Point. That's great. I love that.
But, you know, everybody needs a... Remember when you used to go to the video store and you'd crane your neck and you'd look at the you know,
yeah.
the vertical spines of titles, and after about 20, your mind would just glaze over. That's what it's like. Going on to any subscription platform, video on demand service, how do you make sense of this? So part of my job is to find, you know, 2-3 times a week, you get an email from me saying, here's something good. It could be old. It could be new. It could it could be in theaters. It could be a TV show. By and large, it's going to be a movie, you know, the 2-hour movie experience, which I still think is one of the best ways to sort of have a story, to experience a story. And I'll point out what platform it's on. And I do try and help my readers navigate this universe of just endless content we have and endless ways to access it. And right now we're living in this period where all these services are battling for our eyeballs. Eventually there'll be a shakeout. Disney will probably own everything. but we need some help making sense of it all.
I know I do, and I know it's been a long time since I've been in the theater. I'm an elderly father with a 9-year-old, so I think that was probably with my son where I went to the theater. And it's stunning when you really think about it, and there's so much that you get lost. I don't know if you follow the stats on this type of stuff, but really my question, I don't know whether you can answer it or not, how many people are seeing our movies in the theaters now? I mean, even with post-pandemic America, are they going back to the theaters at all? Because it's been a long time for me.
It depends on the movie. I mean, Top Gun Maverick was a massive, massive, massive hit this year. Mm-hmm. Everybody went out to see it. And, you know, we're living right now in a period in the popular culture and the movie industry where the only things that really work in theaters are what I call the IP movies, the intellectual property movies, the movies based on, you know, comic books and book series and, you know, superhero movies, Harry Potter's, Fast and Furious, things that people already know.
Right. I'm curious. That bore you like they bore
well, when they're good,
like
you know, right. I appreciate a good Thor movie because they tend to be, you know, Taika Waititi, it's funny, but, you know, but by and large, they are not all those dramas and romances and comedies and thrillers that we used to call movies, those mid-range things, those don't play in theaters anymore. Right. They will play in theaters, but nobody goes to see them. They'll watch them when they show up on Amazon or Netflix or Apple TV. That sort of mid-range has disappeared from the theater as a profit center and as a sort of conversation piece.
I'm curious, can you draw any parallels between where we are now and where we were as a country in the 50s when Hollywood had the backlash against television? Right. And that's when they started with the spectacle movie, the widescreen, the stereophonic sound, the big stars and all of that.
they really had to double down to get people out of their homes to get to the theater. Is that what they're doing with these Marvel movies and these big budget, like you mentioned, Maverick? Is that a similar thing?
You know, yeah, although you have to back into it a little differently. I mean, yeah, if you look at the stats back in the 50s, when early 50s, late 40s, when TV started really getting into people's homes, the movie theater attendance dropped like a stone.
Yeah.
It dropped almost 50%. It was a real crisis. And yeah, so they introduced CinemaScope and they introduced stereo sound and Cinerama.
3D.
And, you know, and all the little gimmicks to get people back into the theaters, like Emergo and, you know, various William Castle weird gimmicks like electric shocks on your seats. And, you know, the movie business has tried that. They've been trying to make 3D happen for decades and decades and decades. And it's sort of still there, but... And it was the last iteration was a way to force digital projection into theaters and get theaters to switch out their old celluloid projectors and bring in the new digital projectors. And that worked. But 3D is not the thing. Although I am seeing the new Avatar movie tonight. I haven't seen it.
Okay. What did you think of did you like the first Avatar?
I love the experience. I thought the script was, I liked the script when it was Dances with Wolves. you know, that's a movie that's that has everything except a decent script. And I am hoping they bring a decent script.
God, that's right. Now that I'm using my memory banks for that. And how will you take in that? Will you see that in a screening? Will you see that on a small screen? How will you're going to go to a big...
I'm going to the theater to see it. Okay. Don't know what kind of headset they're going to be dropping on me to, you know, experience it. Whether it will be the full body, you know, VR suit or something. But, you know, the last one was a game changer and this one maybe as well. So I don't know. We'll see.
When you're talking about, I just want to ask you about being a well-read theater critic, movie critic, the way we go to movies is I will look at a review. If movie's getting garbage reviews, I'm going to be hesitant, even if I really, really want to see it. You, for most of your career, have to go, you got to see them all. I mean, that's your job, right? And so I'm curious how you handled going to see a movie and maintaining your objectivity when, in fact, you might have been dreading that particular screening. Is that a legitimate question?
It's absolutely a legitimate question. Like, you know, first of all,
we lost the connection. Let's see if we get it back.
Yeah. Of movie critics.
Pony, if we can reconnect with Mr. Burr.
We have him up here. Do you have me, Mike?
I think Mike's connection, his video connection, is a little choppy right now.
All right, just a moment, Mr. Burr. We'll try to resolve this.
Mike there just froze up on me for a second.
All right, are you back, Mike? Do you hear us?
I don't hear him.
Okay, we'll have this in just a second.
Okay.
Amazingly, it's a rainy day in Washington, D.C., and the city's infrastructure is so bad that actually affects us.
Do you have me?
We have you now, yes. Yeah. You good?
Thank you. That was me. Sorry about
that. That's all right. We're good.
Been weird since the old Hurricane Ian down here. It's been crazy. So anyway, I didn't get your answer, but I'm sure you did answer that question. You maintain your objectivity when you go in there. You go in as with a blank slate. Is that how it works?
I try to go into it with a blank slate. There's no such thing as objectivity. I'm always going to be subjective.
Right.
But I try to remain, you know, what I try to explain to people is that a working critic goes in and when I'm writing a review, I try and present a subjective opinion within objective context. So I do, you know, provide information about what the movie's about, what the actors and directors have done, what the, you know, all sorts of information, but also within it is a subjective opinion. And yeah, there are certain genres I'm less than wild about. I like a good, clever, well, you know, smart horror movie, but the old teen dice and slice, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street genre just doesn't do it for me. So nevertheless, if I have to go see one of those, I basically let the movie try to be the movie it wants to be, the best movie it wants to be. And figure that out within the first 10 or 15 minutes. Okay, what is this movie trying to be? Not everything's going to be great art. Not everything's going to be mindless entertainment. What does it want to be? And does it live up to that? Does it surpass that? Does it fall short? But I try and leave my, I mean, I'm always going to have a subjective opinion, but I try and leave my preconceived assumptions about any movie outside the theater when I go.
We're talking to Ty Burr. It's Ty Burr's watchlist.substack.com. Ty, longtime critic with the Boston Globe. I wanted to ask you about on your website, because I didn't get that deep into it. Will you take a look at limited series on streaming services as well? Will you handle the TV stuff as well? And if that's true, I'm curious what your take is on really what I think one of the best things I watch, just an absolute delight every week, which is Yellowstone.
Okay, first of all, yes, I do cover limited series because that's what we're watching now.
Right.
And if anything, I feel like I have an uphill battle selling movies at a time when we're, for a variety of reasons, kind of addicted to series, in part because it's just easier to know what to watch. Yeah, I watched one episode last night, two episodes last night. I know what to watch tonight.
Yeah,
you know,
right. Exactly.
The anxiety of making a choice is taken away from you. And I have written about The Bear. I've written about Severance. I've written about The White Lotus. I have to confess, I have not seen Yellowstone, in part because by the time it came on my radar, there were so many episodes already out there that I need to go back and start again. And because I am watching a lot of movies every week, it's hard for me to keep up with series. That said, I love the actors. I love the genre. I know it's hugely popular. And in fact, the popularity of it is what interests me. That's what makes me want to see it. So would you recommend that I go back to ground zero and start from the beginning?
No, because I'm having this conversation with my wife who hasn't watched it, and I've watched it, and I was telling her, Rob, maybe you can agree or disagree on this.
Okay.
I think, you're a busy guy. You got to watch a lot of stuff. I think, first of all, yes, the entire series is worth it. I think that, and it's really not a limited series. It's a television series.
Yeah, it is.
Because it's multiple years. I misspoke when I said that.
How many
but as
seasons
far,
are we into it?
Season five now. Yeah.
We're in the fifth season. And I really do. Yeah, exactly. So you don't want to necessarily dive into that. I think, you can actually join up in season five and have no problem. Would you agree with that, Rob?
Because 100%. I've watched Carrie do it. I watched my wife do it.
Yeah, it's very. You can pick right up at season five when Kevin Costner's character becomes governor of the state of Montana, and that's fine. And it's just it's escapist fun, and they
beautifully shot, wonderful looking. Yeah,
I like a movie occasionally I think another thing with series, television series, and limited series is a lot of times they give us kind of what we want, especially if they become a series that's popular. They give you that red meat that you really want. And I don't mind that. I'm old fashioned when it comes to movies as far as I like a good traditional ending. One of my biggest criticisms with Saturday Night Live for years and years and years with the cast that aren't the stellar cast is that they should write the beginning before they even start the sketch because they just don't have endings. I'm a big ending guy.
Yeah,
I was talking about that the other day. I love that. And it seems to me, with a lot of films, most recently, maybe the last few years, we have these avant-garde kind of figure it out on your own endings. And it's a little frustrating for me. I wish, because I'm not a film critic, I can't come up with an example off the top of my head. But there are films that kind of just stop.
How about this? Don't Worry, Darling.
Don't Worry, Darling stops.
Yeah, it stops.
It stops right there.
I checked to make sure my internet didn't go out.
I find that a little self-serving, Ty.
I absolutely agree that is a movie that doesn't know how to end.
Yeah.
It's like the screenwriters just threw up their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is a flaw in the screenwriting. Again, I always go back to, what's the movie trying to do? Does a ambiguous ending make sense in the context of what they're trying to do? You know, you think, Chinatown. Chinatown's one of the greatest movies of all time. And that does not have a happy ending.
No.
To say the least.
With that being said, Ty, what about the way the Sopranos series ended? With, again, open to total interpretation because it just, the screen went black. Did you think that was what they should have done with that?
I'm sort of agnostic. I like the arguments that they're having, and I think David Chase really did that ending on purpose to get people stirred up.
Okay.
I think it is frustrating. I think it's frustrating on purpose. And I think you have every right to argue with that and say, no, that's not what I wanted.
Yeah.
But that's what you got. But Mike, I hear you. I love it when a movie wraps up perfectly.
I do too.
You walk out feeling every you know, I has been dotted, every T has been crossed. You feel complete. And that's a rare feeling. It's hard to do as a screenwriter.
It's so hard. I think it's so rare. And when I think of one of my all-time favorite endings in a film with one of my favorite movies ever, the movie Sideways with Paul Giamatti has one of the greatest endings, just spectacular, where they kind of make you, you know, say, oh, what's going to happen? But you really know what's going to happen. It's it's terrific. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, we only have you for a half an hour, so I want to make sure that I get this done because you are a critic. I'm going to put you to work now because I'd like you to give us 3, 4, 5 of what you think are worthy films to put our eyes on now, and then I wouldn't mind hearing after that your all timers because I've never talked to you before and I'd love to do that. So first of all, what do we want to look at now? What's out there that's special?
It's the end of the year, so all the quality movies are coming out, and some of them are really good. I would, for something like real meat and potatoes mainstream, but really well done, I would recommend The Fabelmans, the new Spielberg movie, which is very, it's fictionalized autobiography, but it's very autobiographical, about his being a teenage kid in Los Angeles making Super 8 World War II epics while his parents are getting divorced. Script by Tony Kushner, one of the best writers out there. Terrific performances by Michelle Williams and Paul Dano as the parents. And it's Spielberg. He knows how to tell a good story. And two small performances in that movie. Judd Hirsch has one scene that he's going to get nominated for Best Supporting Actor Oscar. And the director David Lynch shows up in a cameo at the end. And I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it's delicious. So that's a good one. I would recommend The Banshees of Inisherin, which is, remember the Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri? Remember that movie? Written and directed by an Irish writer named Martin McDonagh.
It's Colin Farrell, right? That film?
The new film is with Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson, who were in a movie that Martin McDonagh did called In Bruges a bunch of years ago. Two old friends in Ireland, Green Ireland, in the 20s, who have a feud, and the feud gets out of hand, and it's darkly funny, and the feud goes into some pretty crazy places, but it's beautifully played, and Colin Farrell's had a really good year. He's been in like 4 movies, all of which he's very, very good in. Another movie I want to throw out there that's been out almost all the year, and it's still playing in theaters, and people are going back to it again and again and again, especially younger audiences. And I don't know if you've seen it. It's called Everything Everywhere All at Once. Have you seen it?
No, I have not.
My daughter loved it. My daughter saw it twice. Yeah.
And it stars Michelle Yeoh, the great Hong Kong action star and star of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, who plays a laundry proprietress in middle America, Chinese immigrant, who learns that in a parallel dimension, she is actually an all-powerful figure, and actually in infinite parallel dimensions, she's different people. Jamie Lee Curtis is in the movie as the IRS auditor of your nightmares. it is funny, it's heartfelt, it's got incredible martial arts scenes that are hilarious, but also incredibly choreographed. And it is, there's a lot going on in it, and it's the kind of movie you have to, I'm glad people are seeing it in the theaters because you have to kind of pay attention. It's not one, if you watch it at home and are glancing at your phone, you're going to miss the movie. But it's a great audience movie. And I understand why people are going back to see it several times.
Oh,
and
wow.
Honestly,
I'm excited about that.
Michelle Yeoh is going to get a Best Actress Oscar nomination and deserves it.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. Now your faves of all, because you know like most people in your line of work, you're a guy that loves film, and it doesn't have to be a modern film; it can be an older film. What are some of your all time greats that you enjoy?
Well, I get asked, when you're a movie critic, you get asked a lot, what's your favorite movie? You know,
sure.
I actually have two answers to that, and they're both legit because they're both my favorite movie. And again, it's all subjective. And one of them is the movie everybody's heard of. And that's kind of, you know, people want to hear a movie they've heard of. And the other one is a movie nobody's heard of. The one that everybody's heard of is The Godfather. It's just a great movie on all levels. It's just firing on all cylinders. The performance, the writing, the cinematography, the music, everything, the thematics. It just repays endless viewing. And if you've got a kid that hasn't seen it, at a certain point in their life, you have to sit them down and make them watch it. It's mm-hmm. a quintessential American movie. The other one is probably the quintessential French movie. It's a movie from 1975 called Céline and Julie Go Boating. It wasn't available on video for in this country for years. It finally is now on DVD and Blu-ray.
That's a documentary about Celine Dion and Jodie Foster, right?
Yeah, on a boat. On a boat.
No.
It's a fishing story.
It's kind of like a Charlie Kaufman meta movie about 3 decades ahead of schedule, about two women in Paris who discover a house of fiction where the same story happens over and over and over every day. And they decide they want to get in there and monkey wrench the story. I love it. It's about storytelling. It's about filmmaking. It's very slow. It's very French. It's not for everybody, but I saw it when I was in college and it changed what I thought about movies. But I love old movies. I love Bringing Up Baby with Cary Grant and Katharine mm-hmm. Hepburn. I love Casablanca. I got into this business because I love movies. All of us got into this business because we love movies. And we still do.
I want to ask you about an article I read, a profile. I forget whether it was GQ or Vanity Fair of Christian Bale. And Christian Bale makes a comment on getting offered things after Leonardo DiCaprio gets offered them and talking about that and then saying something along the lines that Leonardo DiCaprio gets offered everything. Is he, in your opinion, right now the number one seed as far as our movie stars working today?
Well, it's an interesting conversation because there's a big conversation about whether we have movie stars anymore. Actually, my old Boston Globe colleague, Wesley Morris, had a piece in the New York Times on Sunday on exactly that question. And on about Tom Cruise, is he the last movie star? And Leonardo DiCaprio, is he, you know, the last movie star? Who brings people into the theaters anymore? And it's funny, I actually wrote a book about the history of stardom from the silent era to the internet age. And I teach a version of that at Boston University. And at the start of every semester, I ask my students, who's a star to you? Who's a movie star to you? Mm-hmm. And they don't buy into Tom Cruise. They'll go see Top Gun Maverick, but he's their parents' star. They'll say Timothy Chalamet. Absolutely. He's a huge star to them. They'll say mm-hmm. Leonardo DiCaprio. Absolutely. They'll say Beyonce is queen of the universe as far as they're concerned.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah, she's
okay.
not a movie star, mm-hmm. but she's
not a movie star, right?
Queen mm-hmm. of the pop culture. They'll right. say Zendaya. Zendaya is a movie star to them. Oh, I think
that's the biggest potential right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. And I and people of our generation who are old.
We're about the same age.
The stars of our generation, and we're not looking at the people who are coming up. And granted, it's fragmented. It's fractured. It's not just movie stars anymore. There's mm-hmm. TV stars, TikTok stars, sports stars, political stars, you know, Instagram influencer stars. There's every area has its own little cosmology of stars. But I still do think that, seriously, when I go online and I see the conversation around Timothy Chalamet, everybody under 30, he's a movie star to them. And I don't know All whether right. that will last, but for right now, he's it.
You think the Marvel superhero, Transformer, do you think that's just going to continue for the foreseeable future? I mean, I wonder about that.
And I do think that those characters have replaced stars in our popular culture.
Interesting.
So that, you know, Captain America is more of a star than Chris Evans is. You know, mm-hmm.
yeah.
Thor is more of a star than Chris Hemsworth. And I grieve over that. And I don't think it's good for the long haul. It's good for their bank account. I think, you know, that's how Hollywood makes money these days, is by giving us something that we already know. And you have to ironically go to TV series for originality, didn't used to be that way. It used to be the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, really TV is where a lot of good stuff's being made now. And a lot of mega stars are gravitating towards it. And I think you're going to see that continue as well. And it's a bummer because, I mean, when you see an intimate film on a big screen, it's still better than seeing it on a television, right? I mean, I'd like to see more of that, but I don't know whether we're ever going to get there again. I don't know how we would. Do you ever think about that? How we might get there? How we might see more decent films? And I don't mean that. Look, I know if you like like Oscar, our tardy performer today. If you if you like that, fine. I'm not trying to diss you on that. I'm just saying I like to see all films on in a theater setting. I think it's fun. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah, and that experience, I hope, never goes away. I think we are wired to experience stories as part of a crowd. So it's back to the, you know, cavemen around the campfire. That, and I worry that, you know, the pandemic and streaming technology is just chasing us back to our individual, you know, dens and TV.
It's frustrating.
Rooms.
Yeah. It's
over the last year, what was your favorite movie that you saw in a theater because it was in a theater?
I would probably say Everything Everywhere all at Once.
Oh, mm-hmm. Gotta see that. I'm gonna run to that.
I saw it twice. And the second time was in a crowded theater, and it made all the difference.
Wow.
It just, you know, you could feel people just riding that movie. And that, when that happens, there's nothing else like it. And I wish that there were, that the film industry was more interested in bringing us back to movies that did not depend on pre-digested characters and intellectual property to give us feel, you know, experiences that feel original, you know, that where the emotions are coming up because you're experiencing, you know, there's no new stories, but there's new ways of telling stories.
Before we let you go, I want to, I would like you to, I sorry for talking over you
Not at all.
Before we let you go, I want you to tell us really quickly, just give me a few seconds on Ty Burr's watch list, because I just want people to check it out. Because I checked it out and I liked it, but I think you do a better job describing it than I would.
My aim is to get people thinking about movies and watching movies by pointing out good ones. And they, some of them can be challenging. Some of them can be stupid, but fun. There's all sorts of experiences. My favorite experience when I started this was discovering a movie called The Riders of Justice, which looks, if you look at the trailer, looks like just a knockoff of a vigilante movie. The 435th knockoff of a vigilante movie. It's actually this hilarious Danish comedy drama that takes the vigilante genre and goes in really unexpected and even moving directions with it. It stars Mads Mikkelsen, who you know from Hannibal and other you know, American-made properties. It's just wonderful. And it's out there. It's a $2.99 rental on Amazon. And everybody I know who I pointed that to through the watch list came back and said, that's a really amazing movie. So I wish I had one of those every week. But that experience gives me joy in passing along something that will be a surprise, an engaging surprise, an entertaining surprise, a thought-provoking surprise to people who read the watch list.
I urge all my listeners to check it out. It is, and viewers, Ty Burr's watchlist, .substack.com. We'd love to steal you before the Academy Awards.
Yeah, come back and see us again. We'd love that.
We would love to have you back on the show. It'd be so much fun. I've never had a chance to talk to you. I've read your reviews in the Globe, and really, what a delight. And this is just a terrific, terrific, you know, enterprise that you're involved in right now. I wish you the best of luck with it, and we'd love to have you come back on, Ty. Thanks so very much for joining us.
Thank you, and I'd be very happy to come back. This has been a lot of fun.
That's great. Ty Burr, everybody. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, it is the homepage on the Mike O'Mara Show. And we'll also join Oscar Santana, who I think perhaps is in the building
he
by
is,
now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, he
That's
is.
Good.
Yeah.
We'll have Oscar come in for our next.
It'll be fun
there.
Because when we do the Oscar interview about Oscars, it'll be a new experience. He'll get to meet Ty Burr.
Yes, we'll be right back, everybody. Mm-hmm.
Order.
Great drive to school with my kid who was talking about Harvard. Said he wants to be a lawyer. Dad, I think I want to be a lawyer. I said, why is that? He said, because I like to argue.
He could be, you know what? Kid lawyer.
Your Honor, I object.
I'll allow it. Have you been heard on a podcast? It's no time to play grab ass, fella. It's time to get tough and call the law offices of Michael William O'Mara, kid attorney.
So an Irishman walks into a pub.
O'Mara is on the case and you'll get the money you deserve. The Mike O'Mara bonus show is so funny, it should be illegal. Get a bonus show subscription today through the link at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Michael William O'Mara, kid attorney.
Oh yeah, it's driving me nuts.
He knows all about the birds and the bees, but it's his opponents in the courtroom who are really
you can't handle the truth.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Let's talk about the one thing that might be missing from your daily routine: hydration. Liquid IV fuels your everyday by you know, being there for you and helping you stay hydrated. In just one stick, you get 5 essential vitamins, and you're hydrating 2 times faster than water alone. Cooler weather makes it easier to miss signs of dehydration, like overheating or perspiration. Mm-hmm. You're out there in the cold, you don't realize you're getting dehydrated. More important to stay hydrated in cool weather. Hydration is also essential when traveling, so don't take a long-haul flight without Liquid IV. It's made with premium ingredients, and it's non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy, plus Liquid IV is on a mission to change the world. Liquid IV has donated over 25 million servings in over 50 countries around the world. Plus, it's delicious. It's a great way to start your day. So be like me. Drink Liquid IV. Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco. Or you can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout. My wife is an esthetician, and she has Liquid IV for her clients right now. And she gives them a little sample of it every time they come in if they're interested in hydration before her facials. 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. And before we get to the homepage, let's say
hi
there,
America.
Do you remember what we said?
Thank you to Ty Burr for coming on the show.
Do you remember what we said at the end of the show yesterday?
Yes, and I said I'd try to be here.
But I really thought maybe you'd try a little harder.
Well, I can't help it when I have a poopy paw situation. All right, when I'm on a one parent household, my wife leaves for PT, and I got a poopy paw situation.
What time did the poopy paw situation happen?
8:45 is the poopy paw situation.
You see, if you had walked him at 8 o'clock...
Yeah, well, he goes in the backyard. I don't walk him.
Okay, well, if you had let him out at 8 o'clock...
Yeah, I should have.
Yeah, you really should have.
Yeah.
It's discourteous to the listener. It's discourteous...
I agree.
...to the guest.
America, I'm sorry.
When I sold the guest on the fact, I said, we have 3 hosts...
A dynamic Hispanic?
Yeah, I know. I said, don't worry that one guy's going to tune out.
Oh.
But I said we have three guests.
Not tune out, not show up.
No, now, I mean, he really meant it. But so it's a little disheartening.
I bow to you.
We're trying to, but we have for years, Mike. We've worked together how long? 30 years?
30 plus years,
and we've been trying to find. We've been trying. Not until tomorrow. We were trying to find a good movie guy. I vetted this guy. I was excited.
I didn't know this was going to be our movie guy.
Well, we were trying to find a movie guy.
I didn't know that.
And he is fantastic.
This guy's the gold standard. This guy's Tom Shales territory.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This is the real deal.
Then I felt bad before. I feel even worse now. I thought he was a rando.
That's our goal. That's all we need.
All right, thank you.
Winner.
...of the World Wide Web and into your digital device. It's what you need to know.
This is
the homepage.
Hey, sad news. Kirstie Alley died yesterday. After what her family described as a short battle with cancer. She was 71 years old. They said the cancer was only recently discovered, and Kirstie, quote, fought with great strength, leaving us with a certainty of her never-ending joy of living and whatever adventures lie ahead. I don't know why this bummed me out. She's been out of the spotlight for a long time.
Sad. Well, she's touched so many great projects.
She's best known for playing Rebecca Howe on Cheers from 87 to 93. A second NBC sitcom, Veronica's Closet, aired for 3 seasons. I remember that one, too. She made her film debut, and what a hot film debut it was. In Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, her other films, Summer School, Village of the Damned, and Look Who's Talking. Remember those movies?
Oh, franchise stuff.
With John Travolta. He's had enough loss in his life. He posted a tribute to Kirstie, saying, quote, Kirstie was one of the most special relationships I've ever had. I love you, Kirstie. I know we will see each other again. Her most recent gig was the Baby Mammoth on season 7 of The Masked Singer, which aired earlier this year. In her final Instagram post back in September, she announced that she was joining Cameo. That just sucks.
Yeah.
That was somebody that was fun, a lot of fun.
What's your take on the... such a public figure taking such a private route?
I think they're allowed to.
I know they're allowed to. I'm saying they're clearly allowed to, but is it something that
you mean staying out of the spotlight? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm saying
not publishing the fact
that they're leaving us.
Mm-hmm.
Because
not letting us in on the diagnosis and that she's bad. I think that's perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, I do too.
I think we've all thought about it. I think Rob certainly thought about it. When you Rob went public with it, I have no idea what I would do if I got a big deal. I don't know if I could pull. For those of you in the Washington, Baltimore area, I always say I don't know if I could do a Lopez.
Yes.
Who really let listeners follow what was happening. I'm not really sure. I think it would depend on the situation.
I also think it's weird. Tough. It's weird now. Because people feel almost entitled to knowing what's going on with celebrities.
And they're not. And they're I just not wish we could have celebrated her more.
Yeah. Mike, I do have a brief clip. And this is a good example of her taking a mediocre joke and really making it work on her delivery. This is on Cheers. The first time she met Diane, Shelley Long, because they were both sort of romantic rivals with Sam Malone. And they meet up. This is Rebecca meeting Cheers on Cancer.
So, Rebecca, tell us about yourself. Sam never mentioned what you do.
I am a corporate attorney with the firm Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, they're a pretty famous group. Listen.
She will be missed. Good actress.
Yeah, that's a bummer. So so long to Kirstie Alley, and she will be. She will be absolutely missed.
Yeah, guys, I'm so sorry. What was the dynamic? Because I only watched Cheers with, I don't remember the other lady on.
She had hired, and Shelley Long was pre-Kirstie Alley.
Was she leaving?
So, well, the actual impetus in the pilot.
In real life.
No, in the pilot of the series, episode one, Shelley Long breaks up with her boyfriend and comes into the bar looking for a job. Oh. And she is total naive as far as the bar life. And then the sparks, a la Moonlighting, a la every boy-girl relationship on television. She and Sam hated each other, and then they loved each other.
But what about her leaving the show? And then I thought she took Kirstie Alley.
Shelley Long wanted to go do movies. Right,
That's real life. I forget the plot line that got her out of there. And then Kirstie Alley, if I'm not mistaken, her character, Rebecca, was brought in because Cheers, the bar in the show, was acquired by a conglomerate.
Oh.
And she was like a corporate lady that was in to oversee operation of the bar.
I think
that's what happened. I think that's
Holy
right.
Holy ass.
Yeah.
All I know is I liked her better than Shelley Long. Sorry, got to tell the truth. The man who shot Lady Gaga's dog walker will have a long time to think about what he did because he was just sentenced to 21 years in prison. James Howard Jackson shot Ryan Fisher back in February of 2021 and stole Gaga's French bulldogs. Gaga offered a $500,000 reward, and the dogs were returned the next day after someone found him tied to a pole in an alley.
Yeah, and by the way, dog walker is not our show's announcer. It's Dude Walker.
Dude Walker.
Don't get confused.
Dude Walker.
Put on a collar.
Fisher, the guy that got shot, was in court to read a victim impact statement. He said, quote, "You shot me and left me to die, and both of our lives have changed forever." He added that his days since the attack have been marked by lung collapse after lung collapse, physical therapy and loss of career, friendships, aimlessly traveling the country, and rising debt. That's a drag.
Yeah, it is.
That just sucks. So he's going to jail. Good. All right, here's an interesting story. Howard talked about it and maybe beat me to the punch here. GMA3, Good Morning America 3 anchors Amy Robach and TJ Holmes have been taken off the air amid their bombshell affair scandal. ABC News President Kim Godwin announced Monday during an internal call that the pair would not host their daily 1 p.m. show. Godwin told staffers on the call that the alleged affair had become too much of an internal and external distraction. She said, "After a lot of thought, I am taking Amy and TJ off the air as we figure this out." I didn't read the Howard comments. I didn't hear the Howard comments, but it was something like they ought to be able to love and bang whoever they want. And I am inclined to agree with that. I mean, you've got a lot of examples of
Minka,
the he shed, she and, shed.
Well, isn't
right?
there a Minka Kelly and Joe Scarborough, right?
On MSNBC?
Mika,
Joe Scarborough, and Mika Brezhnev.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Brezhnev, Brzezinski. Mika, well, it's now Scarborough.
Well,
so,
Brezhnev was the one with the big, big eyebrows that was on that show.
I apologize.
Those
guys are rock stars, and I shouldn't like mess their name up, but that's the first thing I thought about where there was an off-air romance that was then talked about on air. The difference is this, Mike, is The way that they spun that romance, you would see it on all the rags I read.
Yeah, I remember reading all about it. Absolutely.
That romance was, I guess, it was pinned as we had so much chemistry on air, which you would see if you were a viewer of the show, that we just couldn't help ourselves, both in their own marriages.
Mm-hmm.
This latest romance was just so out of the blue and
they were keeping it a secret.
It didn't have the runway to be where it is today, and they became the news. Which is, you told us, Mike, if you become the news,
you're screwed.
Yes.
But I do want to applaud ABC.
I'm a big fan of her. She originates from Channel 5 in D.C., and we loved her at Channel 5. She's been through some health crap as well. I don't know, man.
I applaud ABC, though, by doing the fact that how they handled it is they let the numbers take a huge boost when the affair was announced, then waiting a few days before letting them go.
Do you think they'll be back on the air? Do you think they'll put them back on the air?
Of course they
will.
There's
a rumor also... This is just what I read, because Mike got me onto the story.
Informed sources?
And like a bloodhound, I started reading about it.
Okay, what do you know?
The producer apparently had... who's the lady's name? Was it Kim that you have within your story you just read us? Kim?
The producer? The Kim Godwin, the president of ABC News.
Apparently, one of the producers from ABC News also had an affair prior... With the anchor TJ.
TJ's a swordsman?
He might be a swordsman.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, that,
again,
boy.
Legend. Hey, took a deep dive.
You're killing me, Holmes.
Yes.
Well, you know what? I don't really care. But I like Amy Robach.
Not until it touches the Today Show.
That's
then you care.
If Roker starts,
the clots.
Hanging out with Dylan Dreyer. Anyway, Miller High Life is selling this to me is America at its finest.
Okay.
Miller High Life is selling a leg lamp beer tower for the holidays, based, of course, on the only movie that people seem to want to talk about. They're selling a limited number through their online store this Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. All right. I'm giving you plenty of notice. Each lamp holds a full six pack, and there's a tap.
Of course there is. It doesn't come out of the toe?
That you pour from. Even at $120, they're probably going to sell. Of course they're going to sell out fast. I think it's a great use for the leg.
Oh, my God. Absolutely.
You want to know the kind of people that are intrigued in this? He's going to buy one.
Yeah.
The leg itself looks a little different. It's based on the Girl in the Moon logo that's been on Miller High Life bottles for decades. It's got a red boot. With red and gold stockings and a lampshade on top. It does light up. It's 45 inches tall, which is a little shorter than the lamp from the movie, but it does come in a box with the words fragile.
It looks like a classic handout that the Miller High Life rep would hand out to a bar owner in 1960.
Fantastic. Yeah. You can check it out at MillerHighLife.com. I'm promoing it because I think it's neat.
It's funny.
That's it.
It
Sorry
is.
About that.
And great beer.
Yes. Rob hates it. Hates Miller High Life. Hey, to help people out with the dating game, WalletHub, you know I love that website.
Yeah.
They compared over 180 U.S. cities across 36 key indicators of dating. Friendliness from the percentage of the population that is single to the average price of a two-person meal. So it's those categories. Friendliness, percentage of population single, average price of a two-person meal. These are the top 10 best cities for singles. Here we go. The 10, Atlanta, Georgia, San Diego, California, Honolulu, Hawaii, Austin, Texas, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Portland, Oregon, San Francisco, California, Denver, Colorado, Mad City. Got a lot of listeners there.
Yeah.
Madison, Wisconsin, and the number one best dating town for singles. You're not going to know it. I guarantee it. Here it goes. Seattle, Washington.
Oh, my
really?
God. I thought that was like the capital of, was it Doomsville? It's all sad and rainy.
I thought it was the number one homeless destination for Americans.
It is.
That's what I thought.
It's where grunge music came from because of the sadness. Yes. The Seattle
the
sound. Yes, please.
They gave us the worst, too. Number 10, Montgomery, Alabama. 10th worst. Columbia, Maryland comes in at number 9.
Really?
You got the mall
Dover, Delaware. A lot around our area. Dover, Delaware comes in after that. Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Shreveport, Louisiana. I don't know this.
That's where
town.
Jerry Lee comes from.
Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Oh, I don't know where that is.
Hialeah, Florida, on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Brownsville, Texas.
Oh, the
Glendale,
station.
California. Does that, anybody know where Glendale is?
That's a burb of of LA, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's a valley.
Yeah.
And numero uno coming in at number one. They don't get a timpani. Warwick, Rhode Island.
Man, I heard the trim was excellent.
I had a friend from Warwick. He was definitely lonely.
And Mike, I need to correct myself. Shreveport, Louisiana is not where Jerry Lee comes from. He came from Faraday, Louisiana. I misspoke.
Faraday, Louisiana. Faraday. There we go. A century in one time for me.
Do you have a message for the people of England?
England can kiss my ass. And now a little something, something. All right. I love this joke, but you might not. I don't usually warn you about a joke, right. But think about the medication. If you know the medication, this will be funny to you.
All right.
A middle school nurse in Florida is facing charges for stealing Adderall from children and replacing it with aspirin. Her name is Michaela Crandall. She's a 27-year-old. She lives in the town of Niceville in the Florida Panhandle. She just started working at the school in July. All the kids' medications were kept in a locked medicine cabinet, so she'd allegedly go in, take out some Adderall, and replace it with things like aspirin or Aleve, depending on what the pills looked like. In September, a girl noticed her Adderall pills didn't look right. Then her mom and several other parents started noticing changes in their kids' behavior.
Oh, wow.
The school eventually realized over 100 pills were unaccounted for and found an Aleve in one of the kids' pill bottles and 7 aspirins in another bottle. It's not clear if Michaela was taking the meds herself or selling them, but she was the only person with a key to the cabinet. She's facing charges for grand theft of a controlled substance, failing to keep narcotics records, and 5 counts of child maltreatment. The kids were asked if they saw anything, but police couldn't get them to pay attention. And they were jumping on their desks. I'm sorry.
Winner!
Adderall.
Winner.
Adderall joke.
Yeah, I love it.
Thank you.
So tired.
Got it. Anyway, we have to take a break. When we come back, I wanted to do this yesterday. We didn't get a chance. Florida time. We're going to talk Florida when we come back on the mic.
Feeling stressed, anxious, or nervous? 4 out of 5 doctors recommend the latest bonus show as the panacea for what ails you.
This is our bonus show.
Yeah.
This is where we do therapy, okay? Yeah. And I can tell you secrets that you wouldn't know on the regular show.
Yeah, it's not all happy, happy, happy. We're successful, right?
This is where I sound like an old fart.
Yeah.
I just want to be an alt-rock DJ.
I'm a Toys R Us kid.
You know, my sister was a special ed teacher.
And that's why you turned out so well.
I'm not a monster.
The TMOS bonus show is that happy place where you can escape from the daily pressures that bog you down. Unwind with a subscription today at MikeOMaraShow.com.
You just made my effing day.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Rothy's shoes. Cool, versatile, and most of all, comfortable. You will definitely get compliments when you wear Rothy's. Oscar's got the sneak. Rob's got the boot.
Chelsea boot.
Listen, even better, Rothy's just launched an all-new men's shoe. It's called the Monty.
Monty.
And it's an effortlessly cool shoe. It's like a cross between a dress shoe and a sneaker that you can eat. No, that you can wear absolutely everywhere this holiday season. They also have 2 new sneaker styles. The RSO2, a more relaxed lace-up that's like a t-shirt for your feet. And the City Slip-On sneaker, a refined luxe slip-on with a roomier fit. To top it off, Men's Health named the RSO1 sneaker one of their top 3 sustainable sneakers during the 2022 Sneaker Awards.
I love that.
I was in the front row. And if you're looking for some gifting inspiration for friends, family, and your significant other.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. Take significant other out of the copy, please. Significant other. It's hard to say. Unrewarding.
Mike, the thing about the Sneaker Awards, it's an honor just to be nominated.
Well, if you want to get something for your significant other, Rothy's has you covered with shoes, bags, and accessories for both men and women. And remember, it's all recycled material, 100% machine washable. This season, find out why people fall hard for Rothy's with new shoes, bags, and more for everybody. You can snag something for yourself or someone you love. For a limited time, get $20 off your first purchase at Rothys.com/TMOS. That's $20 off at Rothys.com/TMOS. That novel was brought to you by Rothy's.
Rothy's. Worth
like
every
word. It's like a
significant, maybe just say rice. Your boo.
Or your partner.
Your bun.
Yeah, bun. Well, bun could also be a guy with a man
that
bun.
Is true. Very good. All right, what is this Florida thing you've been sitting on for a couple of days?
Okay, this, I want your counterpoint or your agreement to this. And I like this because it comes from a European website. It comes from trendingnow.eu. And the headline is, "These 9 things might make you hate Florida." And so this is the Europeans' sort of interpretation of what Florida is like.
Is Florida still Europe's like destination? Disneyland destination? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, here it is with we have, I think, and I could be wrong, but I believe we only have one international flight at our airport that's a nonstop, and it comes in from Germany. So we do have a kind of a European presence. I've played golf with a lot of different people from Europe mm-hmm. that come over here and they end up, spending their retirement here. I think it's popular with Europeans. I really do.
Mike, just out of curiosity, before I get to this first item, do you know how many people live in Florida? Do you know what your state's population is? Because the population of the United States is roughly 300 million right now. How many do you think live in Florida?
I'm going to say 30 million.
21 million.
Close.
21 million. You're very close. All right. All right.
Yeah.
Number one that might make you hate Florida, it's crowded with tourists throughout the entire year.
It is not where I live. I will say that we gird ourselves for the tourist season, and the only thing that it really directly impacts are getting into restaurants and traffic on the highway. That's when it. But I mean, after the Christmas holiday is when it starts to thicken because people start coming in. The snowbirds come down. A lot of them come down in October. Then you get another influx after January when the holidays are over.
Right.
And then the spring breakers combine with it. And February and March is bat S around.
According to the European website, Mike, it says, almost every season is full here because the climate is very warm, even during the winter.
Yeah, that's why they all come. They come to visit. Hello. And they're here, by the way, when the non-holidays are happening.
Yeah.
Because the Europeans do it right. We don't do it right.
Don't they have different holidays,
though? We all vacation at the same time.
They have different holidays in Europe.
But no, it's just the way they vacation. Australians, for example, they've got a much more liberal vacation schedule, so they get to go away and get paid leave when they want to.
Okay. Yeah, so Mike, number two, beware. This is, and it's so funny. You think of people in Europe; they have to have an image of what the United States is. Number two, Florida is hot.
Yeah. Okay. Duh. Yeah. That it is, and I like it. I like the heat.
A lot of retirees are searching for warm weather.
Good for your joints.
I'm wearing 3 layers the other night, and I get into the car. I'm like, wow, I'm glad we're out of that. And I turn on the car, and it's 72 degrees.
Oh my God. I'd kill for 72.
Yeah.
There was the breeze.
Anyway,
layer up. Mike, number three, bugs can become your perpetual roommates. Lots of bugs.
Nah, I don't buy it. There is such an industry of landscaping and extermination down here that I don't sweat that. I seriously, we have a new guy that comes by the house, and he is fantastic, and I had a mosquito in my bathroom this morning. I couldn't believe it. I got that hole in my screen. I think that's why some bugs are getting.
How big was it? Big guy?
The mosquito or the hole in my screen?
Both.
The hole was about 2 feet by 2 feet, and so was the mosquito.
Oh my God! Don't let him get you. He'll kill you. According to the European website. Imagine living in a state where bugs and other things claw up your window. Ugh, and there are also flying bugs.
Yes. Yeah, well, they don't have bugs in Germany?
Yeah, weird.
I don't know.
It flies over there.
Well, they're mostly listening devices, the bugs in Germany.
That's Russia.
Oh, sorry. Number four goes without saying, hurricanes. And obviously, they're seeing the coverage of the hurricanes and over there.
I don't find that to be a problem.
Oh, stop it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, number five. Do you feel that Florida is ground central for global warming?
Why?
It says studies have shown that in 2020 there was a huge rise in sea levels. And the people.
Well, I mean, are they saying because it's so hot down here?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
How's that going to affect your vacation? You know, you're going to a hot destination.
Go back and stay in your log cabin in the mountains in the 10 feet of snow, Fritz.
Keep your euros.
Okay, according to Fritz on this website, it gets pretty hard to breathe outside between noon and 6 p.m.
If you don't hydrate, that could be true.
I will tell you that you acclimate to it, and then you prepare for it. Okay. But if you do not hydrate. And you're outside in July, August, September.
Just go down.
Down here, you're gonna have some serious problems.
Yeah. All right. So this is hydrate. And again, this
liquid
is
liquid IV.
This is this is apparently a big deal for people in Europe.
Is it heat again?
Sort of.
Because what the it's a terrible list.
It's the sunshine.
God, heat. Three are heat. Yes, it's hot. Don't come. Like, please.
It's hard to find parking in the shade.
Oh, my God. Let it go. What do you think air conditioning was invented for?
A hot steering wheel, though, when you get in a car is rough.
It is.
Go back to Dusseldorf, okay? Will you, Klaus?
I love that it's all Germans for us. It's an entire continent, but now you've got it down to a city.
How many more do we have?
Just three, and this is not heat related. I want your take on this.
All right.
Florida is not pedestrian friendly.
It is not.
Okay, no, so you agree to that.
No. It could be better. With a lot of that.
You need
and
a
we
car.
Get a,
you need a
we
car.
Get a lot we got a lot of people that get bumped pretty badly down here.
And
it
then
almost every day
when they get hit, do they get hot?
Shut up. All right, move on.
Number eight, very few things are cheap in Florida. It is a very expensive place to live, according to the Europeans.
It is extremely expensive. Yeah. It is. I mean, it used to be
gone up,
like a couple of years ago. Yeah, caught up. A couple, 3-4 years ago, we had a little advantage down here. But if you know where to go, you can do very, very well. You can do A-OK. Hello, Buffalo Chips.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had the whole Fandamly out there. We got like a massive amount of wings, and it was $6. It was a decent buy. It was we got 300 wings for $2.50,
and everyone ate till they were satisfied.
That's right, and all the beer we could drink.
Mike, I hold in my hand the last European problem with Florida: the environment is too basic.
Sorry, Rob, you jumped right into it. Comedy timing was off. Stop it! Shut up. Say it again, please. Thank you.
The environment is too basic.
And basic.
You mean there's not enough culture? Is that what you're saying?
No, no, no. If you're a mountain lover, you enjoy spending your time hiking or climbing on rocks, Florida
is
a
very
big
European way of expressing it.
Yeah.
The terrain is too flat would be the better way to explain that.
And
is
how do you take
flat.
About what is your takeaway on that?
I agree with it. Yeah. But it's Florida. You know what you're getting. If you want the mountains, go up into the Carolinas. Go up into Virginia.
Don't
go out
have
to Colorado.
Enough of them in Europe?
How about this? If you don't like the terrain, go visit your Zugspitz, okay? Go visit your Zugspitz, you pricks.
All right. But thank they do say, much. Mike, you can get lots of pictures of sunsets, but don't look at the Fort Myers Mountains. There are not any mountains.
At Fort Myers Beach, where I was sadly yesterday, they have what's called the Green Flash, and we'll talk about that when we come back a little bit. And more fun and more thrills. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Way down yonder in New Orleans.
The town in New Orleans.
I'm walking through New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
Mike O'Mara Show live Saturday, April 15th, 2023 at the legendary House of Blues in New Orleans.
How y'all are? I'm glad for you to see me, a guarantee.
Tickets available now at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Ain't it bitchin'?
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. KiwiCo knows a thing or two about delivering fun for all ages, and they're here to help you give awesome with the KiwiCo subscription. You're giving so much more than a toy. You're giving a season of discovery and experiences. They're delivered to their door. Each box is kid-approved by a crew of kid testers to ensure that they're age-appropriate and seriously fun. Cultivate your child's natural creativity and curiosity by giving them the tools to learn new skills and make new connections to the world around them. Each box features new projects every single month, like discovering the science of magic, engineering a domino machine, the amazing coin-eating robot, and more. You won't believe what they can accomplish with KiwiCo. And the best part, watching their confidence grow as big as their smile. My son, Michael William, loves KiwiCo. The king digs it. I love watching him with the new stuff. Give awesome this holiday season with KiwiCo. Get your first month of any crate line free at KiwiCo.com/TMOS. That's your first month free at KiwiCo.com/TMOS. Yeah, I have been wanting to do a little Facebook Live, a little video down at the beach to do two things. To show people what I was talking about a short time ago on the show. And you don't get that feeling from watching regular television because they're limited in their time. They can show you the clips. Now, you'll see aerial shots and you'll see that. But when you're on the ground, especially down in the Fort Myers Beach area, you realize the awesome power of this storm and what it did to people. So yesterday I decided that I would go down to Fort Myers Beach. The public is now allowed to drive over the bridge and traffic is back to regular traffic patterns. Not regular for the way it used to be, but they let you drive down there. And it was really the first time I saw it was with my family. And we did what I call the loop. It's right. A loop that goes from Bonita, Florida, Bonita Beach, Florida. Yeah. And I used to ride it on my motorcycle. Like whenever I'd ride, when I had a motorcycle down here, that's where I'd ride. And coming into Fort Myers Beach is when you really see that. So I thought I would try to do it justice. My first video was a disaster as I held the condenser mic outside of the window. So you get this. Let's take a look. Like that. And then I figured it out. And then I ultimately figured it out by mounting my camera on my dashboard.
Is that what we saw on Facebook? And
that, there are three of them that I put up. There's one where I blew it, kind of. And there was a guy that had a hard hat that was in back of me in a Jeep, and he was angry that I was going slow. And I dig that. I respect that. Right. This guy's probably got more to do than my fat ass being down there in his way. So I did that, then I stopped, and I showed a house that had been a foundation, basically, that had been swept away by the sea. And then the last one I had was probably the one you saw, where I put the dash cam on and
it was clear.
Traveled. You know, it was and clear. You got to go over the bridge and do that. The other reason I did this is for people during this holiday season, everybody likes to reach out. We like to do toy drives. Please, when you're thinking about your seasonal giving, please do not forget the people of Fort Myers Beach and Sanibel and all the places up the coast that have just been devastated. It is still to me, when I'm driving down the main drag going to Fort Myers Beach and I look to my left on the other side of where the inlet is, and I see not little rowboats, I see 55-foot sport fishermen that were tossed into the mangroves, they're still there. The shrimp boats down at Fort Myers Beach, where we had a fleet, we have a fleet of shrimp boats, are still stacked on each other, most of them. They're getting some of the work done, and it is nonstop labor going on down there, and it really is something that I immediately knew I did the right thing when I was reading the comments, because people were... it was in their consciousness again.
Yeah, I invite people to look at it because, you know what, the national news services, certainly, they've moved on. But they've absolutely moved on.
Your POV is completely different.
Yeah, you need to see what's still going on down there.
Yeah, they go. They pack up the trucks and they roll on out of here, and people are still dealing with this. And, you know, you see people on the news down here that are talking about whether they're going to get their FEMA trailer or not. Whether they're going to get their insurance to cover their manufactured home or not. And manufactured homes in RV parks were, if they were in the particular area of the storm surge, were gone. All of them. And there's one particular video segment where I'm driving through the RV location where these manufactured homes were, and they are gone. All of them. Every one of them.
You can't even tell that something was there before.
You don't even know. Yeah. And so with that said, there's still a tremendous attitude of let's get it back. Let's get, but nobody knows yet. Nobody knows what this beautiful little beach town is going to be. Vacation destination for many people for decades and decades. We don't know what's going to happen. We had a pier that I spent many, many times walking down that pier with my wife, with my son, and then we'd go back and hang out at the beach down there and have a drink at the great restaurant that had a great mahi-mahi sandwich that's gone. Not a stick, not a board, nothing. Like somebody took a broom and swept it. And then when you see just concrete pillars heading out into the sea where there was a formidable pier there, the big kind, you know, the kind that you see, like Santa Monica pier, those type of things. And it got us all. Carr was very quiet. And I said, it's one thing for me to come in and talk about it and talk to people. It's totally another thing for me to show some video. Oscar, if possible, feel free to do whatever you want to do with that video. The first one, as I said, I muffed it a little bit, but there's some good ones in there as well. And I think about the people that are really hurting down here, right in my backyard.
And it's not anything that can be fixed, because that's an entire economy that was wiped out. The tourism economy. That's years away from ever bouncing back. So they need your help, folks.
Very, very odd. Now, Rob Spiewak, I wanted to get this before we go to Soundtown. Yes. That medical news, is this medical news for you?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. All right. What do we got?
I was at my doctor yesterday and just a checkup, and I was not expecting this. I knew I was going to get my shingles shot. I found out I got to also get a tetanus shot. Yay! I know how to party.
Pain.
But are you familiar, and you probably are if you watch any NFL commercials and you see the diabetic ads, what you've heard the phrase A1C, right?
Yes.
A1C, yeah.
Your hemoglobin A1C is technically your estimated blood sugar reading over the past 3 months as a rolling average, right?
Right.
If you have it over 6.5, essentially you're a diabetic. Mm-hmm. If it's 5.7 to 6.4, you are pre-diabetic. Mm-hmm. Now, in the past, I've been as high as 10.3. That's you know, 6.5 is diabetes.
Scary time.
Mm-hmm. During the past 6 months, I am down to a 5.3. I am no longer pre-diabetic. Wow. And I got today to have my breakfast with no needle. I am off the needle. I do need to still monitor my blood sugar and continue what I'm doing. But the doctor, what he said
in
was so great. Pretty much, yeah.
Holy smokes.
He said, if I were to put you on insulin to continue you on, I would be doing malpractice. You're fine as far as diabetes goes. Keep
How
up.
Are you feeling?
It's incredible.
Sensational. Okay. And right, it was one of those doctor's meetings where you kept asking questions and you just kept hearing all the answers you wanted to hear. And all I want to say, and I just need 20 seconds for this, the only good thing about what I've been through over the past 7-8 months are the people that have reached out and said, because of you, I'm going to take this action. I'm going to correct this action. I'm going to monitor this action in my life. I stand here or sit here as living proof that you can, even when the times are very dark, correct it, fix it, right the ship, and stay with it, because it feels amazing. It's really cool.
Wow.
It's really cool. So I'm very happy. And it was fun to throw away my needles this morning. Yeah. Tell you what. So there's that.
How much are you down weight-wise?
Right now, about 92 pounds.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And
Jesus.
I'm conflicted.
Why?
Last night I was drinking red wine and eating white chocolate-covered pretzels.
Mm. Well, Mike, I'll start preparing the eulogy now.
All right. Where's your A1C? Do you know?
I'll know when I get my new doctor's physical on a week from tomorrow. Yeah. I will be doing that. But I would assume it's better than it was. I am in the diabetic range.
I think you were pre-diabetic, weren't you?
I was pre-diabetic. Yeah,
and it's wild because it is. Wow. I mean, you can take your blood sugar every day, but the A1C shows it. A rolling average over 3 months.
This should be.
I was staggered.
Look, I'll put it to you this way, that for what you've been through, the dedication, and I'm saying we get food here at work on a regular basis. I've offered Rob to order off menu for places. This man is so dedicated to his diet. It is mind blowing.
I do eat a lot of carrots.
He's got will. He's a willful guy. He is. He's got will. He really. You're a very willful boy. No, he does. He's got will. And I'm incredibly proud of him. And
well, I'm happy
than,
too.
More than,
I'm
more
happy
than proud too, so. Of you. I'm just delighted that, you know, we're coming off the weekend with you, with the elves in the kitchen that we didn't, you know, you remember that, Oscar?
Yeah,
wasn't that long ago? You and I were saying to ourselves, holy S,
can you bake?
What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
And more will ship tonight, by the way. I got some great notes on Facebook because some of them actually arrived yesterday. And people are saying it's a great run this year. So bless you all.
We were going to have to sell empanadas and put my mom to work.
I mean, it's exciting. It's exciting. This is the best news in the world.
Yes.
And, you know, I've always felt that I don't worry about you. I think that you are, that maybe that OCD aspect of you, you know what your future is if you divert from that plan.
Yeah.
And, it's just the way it should be. And I'm so happy for you.
I'm pleased.
These numbers
Thank you.
Are spectacular. And, you know, I think I should let all the listeners know that are coming to New Orleans in April that I will be the fattest guy on stage, no matter what I do now.
No.
So, it's true. Unless I do something that I don't plan
Start
on
sending
doing.
Pound cakes to Oscar.
It would be come in here, do this show, and then lock myself in a shed. Otherwise, it's going to be, that's
what about one of those old fashioned steam boxes where just your head sticks out?
Yes. Yeah. The thing is, I will, with the new workup, though, this is a long time. It's like 40 minutes that I go in there and meet with this guy.
Oh, okay.
So I might be getting some new stuff. Life's good. Way to go, Rob. We'll be right back.
Maybe I should have saved those syringes.
The dog's a ball sniffer because the dog was sniffing Michael's balls.
Yeah, but it's fine for you to go into the bathroom and make sure he washes his balls.
We don't have the balls context.
No, we don't have
the balls context. Is make sure you wash your butt. Make sure you wash your
balls.
Does she remind you too?
Make sure you get all your cracks.
That's right.
Omega Ball Wash.
Make sure you wash your
balls.
Omega Ball Wash, yeah.
Make sure you wash your butt.
Make sure you get all your cracks.
That's right.
Omega Ball Wash, yeah.
Omera Ball Wash, great on the golf course and a lifesaver in the home. For more squeaky clean fun, get a subscription to the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Click the banner at MikeOMaraShow.com and be in the know with the TMOS Bonus Show.
Omera Ball Wash, yeah.
Hey, everybody. There it is.
Yes.
Dadgrass.
Oh, Dadgrass.
Dadgrass.
No need to stress over the holidays this year. Dadgrass now. I don't want to say it like that anymore. Dadgrass now has something for everyone. Tis the season to indulge. So let Dadgrass help you chill out and enjoy the Yuletide ride. Dadgrass is legal, organic, smokable hemp or gummy hemp.
Yes.
It relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Their 100% organic pre-rolled joints and flower are very low in THC and high in CBD, so you can enjoy the effects of CBD while keeping a clear head. Try their CBD tincture drops or the newly launched CBD gummies.
I found out yesterday, Mike, that CBD gummies do not harm your liver.
That's we'll probably have a case of them backstage in New Orleans.
Hi.
Blackberry, ginger, good time, hibiscus, lime, nighttime, midnight berry. Chill out without getting stoned. Plus, Dadgrass didn't forget your furry friends. That's right. They also just released CBD dog bones. So everyone in the house can enjoy.
Just a little Shatner there, Mike.
Whether you're looking for a new buzz or a chill way to enjoy it, an old favorite, Dadgrass will leave you in a euphoric mood. It's out of sight. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Right now, Dadgrass is offering our listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/TMOS. Before we get to Sound Town, I have to tell you that today I'm heading out to the links to see what kind of damage I will do, and then tomorrow I will be seeing the under the knife doctor.
Ooh.
That guy. So,
Nicholas Van Helsing?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's like, pardon me, Professor Rangoon.
Sound Town.
We call this Stereophonic Sound.
Sound Town.
I'm not going to trouble you all with the tape, but there's 19 shopping days until Christmas.
Ooh.
19. How come you're not going to trouble us with the tape?
Because it's no fun unless I can figure out a way to sort of wedge it in and surprise you. And there was no time
to. Well, you've
never
given me an opportunity to like set it up. You know?
Oh, would you like to set it up?
Could I?
Yeah, of course.
Hey, everybody. There are 19 shopping days till Christmas. Here's a guy to tell you all about it. He's drunk.
19 days for Christmas shopping.
Listen to him. He's got a cigarette in his left hand, and he's got a Manhattan in his right hand. And he's got a deviated septum from doing a lot of coke.
Hi there. Christmas is coming. Have you done your Christmas shopping? Only 19 days left.
Hi there.
Mike, this is the first time you've ever truly embraced it. This is good news.
I like it. I like the listeners like it, so I'm into it.
All right, Mike. This is really the best time of year for many things. Holidays and, you know, family, but also song parodies.
Grandma got run over by inflation.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. Give it another chance. Okay. Sometimes I'm too quick with that bomb, so start it again.
You'll be surprised how dead on you were.
Grandma got run over by inflation.
So you don't want to remind people about inflation.
No. As a matter of fact, it's getting better.
Maybe.
It is. It's down just a tick.
Well, gas prices are down.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely. So, yeah. How about that?
We got that going for us.
So tell the people at the Comedy Labs we don't need that song parody.
I'm sorry. You know, I do want to hear it one more
time. All right, here we go. And this is... I think I got some Patsy on me.
Yes.
From Elmo and Patsy.
Patsy.
Mike, are you familiar with the name Mary O'Connor?
Mary O'Connor? Is that Carol O'Connor's widow?
No, and it's not Mary O'Connor. It's Mary O'Connor. And she is...
Well, that's what Carol O'Connor...
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that
Mary
we were...
O is the name of a little boat we have up in Maine, named after my mom. Mary, the Mary O.
Oh, I thought it was named after Mario Lopez.
No, not him. Although I love
Rob.
Him.
No, I'm kidding.
Yes.
Mary.
Mike, Mary O'Connor was.
And that would be Mario.
You're right. You know what?
Mario Lopez, not Mario.
You're right. You know? I stand corrected.
Hey, I'm going to go hang out in the barrio.
Mike, Mary O'Connor was the chief of police in Tampa, Florida.
Okay, this is a big story nationally, and it's big down here as well. She's in a golf cart.
Yes.
She gets pulled over by a cop who sees her on the main drag.
Right. That's not legal.
And she throws her bag. Yeah. I don't think it was that big a deal.
This is really sort of a detestable thing to do, though.
Stopped you because you're driving an unregistered vehicle with no tag on it.
Is your camera on?
It is.
I'm the police chief in Tampa.
Oh, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
I'm hoping that you'll just let us go tonight.
Not to say I you look familiar, so.
Yeah, I'm sure I do.
All right, folks. Well, have a good night.
Yourself.
All right,
sorry
take care.
Sorry to bother you.
All right, no worries. It was nice meeting you.
All right. You ever need me?
All right, now listen. This lady's getting, she got fired.
Yeah. She resigned, technically.
She resigned. But listen to this. She says... Is your camera on?
Super thoughtful.
She knows that she wants it recorded.
Yes.
And she says, I'm the chief of police in Tampa, and I'm hoping that you'll let us go.
For it. No problem.
Maybe she's just stupid.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Why are you so angry?
Well, she shouldn't. And the thing is at the end of it, she says, maybe you can do something for me, or maybe I can do something for you someday.
Well, that's what you would do if I was the chief of police and that
police
was happening.
Officer.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a police officer, what you do is you don't break the law.
It's a friggin' golf cart on a street without a tag. That's all it is.
I think they railroaded this lady.
They completely She asked him and knew his camera was recording that.
Are you concerned, I guess, what turns you off about the ask for a professional courtesy? What turns you off
about
it?
The fact that she was obviously breaking the law, and she's the chief of police.
But we're all fallible. Just because
you know how many people die in the Tampa area or with fentanyl overdoses, including... My daughter's ex-beau who bought there's some big problems in Tampa, and I think a golf cart without a tag on it is not That's just high crime and misdemeanor.
Like, right. She wasn't seem hammered.
No, I don't think she
and
was.
She didn't seem like. I she don't wasn't think even she driving. Asked the guy for a break in a dickish way. I think she said, "I'm on the job too." You don't think that happens in real life with cops? Happens all the time.
I have
probably not as much with cameras on.
Officer
you know?
Jerky's name multiple times.
Sure,
and
we
he
all
has
do.
Worked once.
I'm. You know what? I rather regret playing the tape.
That's okay.
I didn't know we had this disdain for law
enforcement. No, you have a different opinion. That's okay. And, you know, you're more clear-headed than Oscar or me right now.
All right, Mike, speaking of clear.
We're addled.
Addled. No, you're not addled. We know addled when we see it.
Yeah.
Yesterday on the Today Show, there are two camps of the Beach Boys. There is the Brian Wilson camp that tours, and that is an excellent show. I've seen it. Then there is the Mike, be nice. Then there's the Mike Love. There's the Mike Love Bruce Johnston camp, and they're the ones that have John Stamos as part of their touring show.
Right. He's a nice guy, though.
They did. Yeah, he's fine. And they did Little Saint Nick on the Today Show yesterday, and they just don't sound good. And when you couple it with.
This is the Mike Love version?
Yes. And when you couple it with NBC audio, this is what you get.
We got 1, 2.
Is there enough reverb for you? He just turned 100.
All right, listen.
Well, way up north where the air gets cold, there's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told. A real famous cat all dressed up in red, and he spends a whole year.
Makes me sad.
Makes me sad.
It's just, all right. I mean, you know, I'm 63. I'm still chugging.
Yeah.
We all got to make a living. I don't want to die yet.
Mike Love is 81.
He's 81. 81. Wonderful is what he is.
I wouldn't be able to do that. I wouldn't stand up there and be able to do that.
Well, that's certainly not the most complicated song to sing. And I do like
the teenagers
they bring in.
You lose your fastball. You do. When you get to that age, and you lose it even younger than that. I mean, Lionel Richie, inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, judge his performance. I didn't think it was that great, but Lionel Richie, you know?
But then there are those that have taken care of the instrument that sound every bit that they did.
They're lucky. But Elton John, right?
Elton John has been toast for 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul? How about Paul?
Not good the last 10 years.
Tony Bennett?
Tony Bennett is dead.
Oh. Please move that. On.
All right, now let's close with this. Sometimes the best gift you can give your wife, your lover, your significant other is something might come back. We need you for one more take.
Hey, Oscar, thank you for that plug, baby.
Hey, Tony, how you feeling?
Oh, I left my heart in Forest Lawn Cemetery.
Okay.
High on a hill.
Is he dead? He did die, right?
It goes to me.
Check for me, Oscar. I think he might be. I don't know. Anyway.
Dead Rob, come on.
I love you, man.
Love you.
So sometimes when you have a significant other, the best gift is something they don't know they want. And here's a boyfriend. This video went viral about giving his girlfriend a treat that she doesn't quite understand.
Babe.
Yeah.
I decided that tonight I'm going to skip out on Tuesday night football and take you on a date.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to?
Yeah.
We can go get sushi or something.
Yes.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. Yay! Actually?
Yeah. I figured I'd put a break on football for a little bit, just because I feel like we watch it a lot.
Yeah, so no Tuesday night football for him, Mike.
Tony Bennett is alive.
Yeah.
Oh, no, really?
I apologize.
He's 96.
Oh, no.
I apologize.
But now,
oh, you did it.
You killed it.
Your fault.
Oh, no.
Your fault. You killed Tony Bennett.
Only when he dies. Only when he dies.
Oh, Rob. Oh, my God. It's going to happen this week.
My bad.
Oh, wow.
And that's what I'll send the Widow Bennett. I'll just send a card that says, my bad.
That's the worst we've ever done.
In 3 weeks.
Yeah. Now, oh, God, horrible.
Well, I hope he sees 2023.
Jesus. Help me, Rhonda. Hey, we got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. Our thanks to Ty Burr from the Boston Globe and from the website. Hold on just a second. It is Ty Burr's Watch, TYBURRSWATCH list. Ty Burr's Watch List. Substack.com. great talking to him.
Really
wonderful guest. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Michael O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
I'm still alive.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I don't know what we're going to do, how we get ready of those tumbleweeds. It's horrible.
Say again?